Well, folks, if you had a passion for something, you really had a project you wanted to get off the ground, but, oh, where to get the funds to start it? Well, part of our theme today is kind of funding those passions that you have. And in many ways, necessity being the mother of invention, as we've said before, crowdfunding has come along as being a way of helping people to start businesses or social projects, like we were talking about the Ypsilanti Freight House with Courtney Jones and Vince Mirlewski. And now we have Joe Bastian with us, who has been on with us, matter of fact, last year. We have links to those programs on our homepage. Joe is the author of a graphic novel called The Nain Rouge, or The Red Dwarf. And Joe, good to have you back with us.
Oh, good to be here. Thank you.
And probably the best thing about it is that you have had a very successful Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, we have. We have. Last year, actually, we raised over $18,000 to get our graphic novel published.
Wow. Hey, Joe, I'm going to have you pause for just a second, and I'm going to put you on hold and have the producer see if we can call you back in a better line, because you're breaking up as you're calling in, okay? So, Shannon, if you could get his number and call him right back, and we'll get him on. Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you a question, Foster. It just dawned on me. We're talking about crowdfunding and all that sort of stuff, and we had that article, that recent thing that happened in Detroit where they had crowdfunding for the kid to raise all that money for the guy that was walking back and forth to work, and he, like $300,000. My question is, and I haven't been in crowdfunding before, what are the tax implications?
This would be very good. Well, hey, Vince, go ahead. You can comment it, I think.
Well, I'm not a tax expert, but I assume it's income like any other income you would get for a project or a company.
So is the income tied to the person who started the crowdfunding, or is it tied to the person who receives the benefit of the crowdfunding?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the service you're using and how you're setting it up.
Yeah, I always wondered about that.
No, it is. It's a very good question. Let's go back to something where we're hooking back up with Joe, because we had a very bad phone connection there. You mentioned before, Vince, and we're going to talk with Joe about the crowdfunding types. There are two basic types. Let's talk about that first of all.
There's the equity type, and then there's the reward type.
So the reward type, that's when we kind of know from Kickstarter.
You get your name on a billboard or something if you give a certain amount of money.
Or you get a product.
A t-shirt or, you know.
Yeah.
Often bands, for example, may give you a first cut at a...
Right. It could be almost anything. And Joe, I think we have you back with us. Right, Joe?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, good. You were breaking up before. We were getting every third word. Now, Joe, we're talking about the different types of crowdfunding. You had your graphic novel last year. You were starting it when we had you on in March, and you were able to successfully get $18,000 in that.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, in your project, what benefits did the people get back, for instance, for donating to it?
Well, the graphic novel was built off of, we did a book series first.
Right.
So one of the rewards was they got copies of the young adult fiction books that we had written.
Okay.
And then the other thing was they actually got a copy of the graphic novel once it was published.
Okay. And now you've got that graphic novel published, am I right?
Yeah, it's published and it's out and it's available.
Right. And by the way, we're hoping that we can get Carl Winans on, who is the producer of that as well. But you've had, you also had an artist who was working with you on it.
We did. Patrick McAvoy, who is out on the West Coast, he did all the artwork on it.
Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit, since we have Vince with us and Courtney as well, about this whole notion of crowdfunding. How did you make the choice to go with Kickstarter to get your novel off the ground?
Yeah, actually, you know, Carl was sort of the guru on that,
okay.
And he looked at different crowdfunding. We picked Kickstarter because it was probably the most well-known and the most mature. If we had to do it again, we might have chosen something else. The thing with Kickstarter is, if you don't hit your goal, you don't get anything.
All or nothing.
Yeah, it's an all or nothing.
It's all or nothing.
Right.
With other crowdsourcing, you can, even if you don't hit your goal, you can still get some money.
Then let's talk about that other kind.
That's where the Freight House campaign is. They keep what they raise. But they also have this other piece that Patronicity has called sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, if we raise $50,000, we'll get that matched by the MEDC. Oh,
okay, there's matching that comes into that, for right. instance. Yeah, I was hearing that about another project out there. Courtney, so the matching is from, where would the matching come from?
So the matching program is done by the Michigan Economic Development okay. Corporation, yeah. and we've got to hit that $50,000 right. to get the matching dollars.
But along the way, if you don't get there, you still get to keep what you have.
Correct. So right mm-hmm. now we're at 43 and change. We get to keep that 43 and change, but we want to hit that 50 so that we can get that extra 50
oh,
from
absolutely.
The MEDC.
Absolutely. And that's the motive involved in it. Now, guys, let's talk about the second kind of crowdfunding, which is the equity crowdfunding. Could you explain that, Ed? Pardon me, Vince?
Yeah, sure. If you're familiar with Shark Tank, that's sort of the model yeah. they use there. Okay. You go in and you say, I need some money to get my business going. I'm willing to give you a certain percentage of equity in my business in exchange for those funds.
Okay. And I understand this is because, Gary, of the Jobs Act that came out in 2012 that allowed entrepreneurs to raise up to $1 million over the internet, I believe, according to some notes that I have here, so that people can come in with a small investment.
Right. Most of these are small. I mean, I think the average is $5,000 or something.
Right. The average crowdfunding campaign is, you know, raising somewhere between $4,000 and $7,000.
Mm-hmm. Are there, now, it was interesting, Joe, you were saying that Carl had been talking to you about maybe some of the other models, and we do have a link under crowdfunding alternatives on our homepage to things like GoFundMe, mm-hmm. Indiegogo, and then there's a Mashable article that has 8 alternatives, and a Wikipedia one, which is a really interesting one, which is comparing all the different alternatives.
I believe there's over 500.
Yeah, it's
different ones.
Yeah. It's become so popular. And what are some of the pros and cons of doing this rather than, Joe, of getting some one big person behind the project?
Well, it's a lot more work than it seems.
Ah,
you know, it's all true. In the setup, and it's a lot of setup if you're really going to do it right, and also, you know, guessing how much time. And we did it in 30 days.
Whoa!
And we had the option; we could have made the crowdfunding period longer, and we probably would have been better off if we did. But mm-hmm. Carl had done all the data; he had ran all the numbers and said, you know, usually it's better to condense it.
Mm.
So it's you know there's a lot of lessons learned that we learned going through it,
mm-hmm.
and you know the funny thing, human nature really comes into play because we towards the end in the last week we were pretty far away from our goal, and our friends and family we started to contact them and they said oh well we're waiting till close to the end so that we can put it over the top.
There's a lot of psychology involved.
People waiting, and it's like we're not going to hit it. Everybody wants to be the hero, you know. It was funny because those kind of factors we didn't even consider going in, so that was interesting.
Having a team behind you sounds really important, then. Vince.
Very important.
There's a lot of work involved in getting a campaign ready to go. You know, video is probably one of the keys.
I was going to say.
Without a video, it makes you 4 more times more likely to be successful in your campaign.
The whole visual presentation becomes really important. You got to catch eyes,
yeah.
and imaginations. I would imagine,
and you have to like you know, keep people's hearts involved a little bit.
Absolutely, you know? Exactly. I know, Joe, you had a great video that was part of your Kickstarter campaign. That when you get on there, you click and boom, there's a presentation.
Yeah, well,
we actually shot it in the DIA.
Really?
In the Diego Rivera court, and we had Martin Clevo, who's known from Pirates of the Caribbean. He was our model for the Nain Rouge, so he was on the video, too. So we had a little star power. We had a really cool location. The DIA let us shoot in there.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, absolutely. The video was really, really important to get people drawn into our story and what we were trying to do.
So have you done that right. with the Ypsilanti Freight House
yes,
as well?
Yes, there's a video on the campaign website.
Okay, so if you click off to that from our homepage, internetadvisor.net, you'll see that as well. Some of the interesting things in an article I saw was about comparing crowdfunding with their traditional ways of raising money. They said the advantages are you don't necessarily have to be a great public speaker, but it sounds like it's really important to do a good job of the visual presentation. Is that right?
You have to draw people in. Yeah. And once you have the video, you have to do a fair amount of marketing to get people there.
Mm.
If people don't know about your campaign, they're not going to contribute.
You build it, they don't necessarily
That's
come.
That's right, yeah.
So Joe, how did you get people's eyes drawn to it then on Kickstarter?
Well, it all started with social media. So you have to have a social media
plan, too,
when you go into it. You have to kind of work, you know, everything towards the middle. So you can't just use one. You can't just use Facebook. You can't just use Twitter. You have to kind of use everything and really, really have a strategy. Mm. And then knowing that you have, know, 30 or 60 days or whatever. It's really like a marketing campaign that you set up for, and then you have a launch date. And
good old-fashioned word of mouth, too.
Yep. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, Joe, I want you to talk a little bit about some exciting things that are coming up for your Nain Rouge Red Dwarf. They got an appearance coming up at a Comic-Con and some of the other exciting things. I want to see how you're doing on getting ready to make this into a movie as well. Joe Bastian with us, who is the author of the graphic novel The Red Dwarf, and also Vince Mlewski, and Courtney Jones, who is in studio with us as well.